News.
Iran calls for immediate international action over Israel's acts of aggression against Syria. North Korea test fires an intercontinental ballistic missile, saying it shows the country's capacity of fatal nuclear counterattack. And Russia says the U.S. is trying to foment the crisis in Ukraine by accusing Moscow of committing crimes against humanity. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Israel has carried out new airstrikes on Syria, targeting the capital Damascus with missiles. The attack left 5 people, including a soldier, dead and 15 civilians wounded. The Syrian army says Israel targeted several residential buildings, but most of the missiles were intercepted by air defense. Iran has condemned the attack. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani slammed what he called the West's shameful silence over repeated violations of Syria's sovereignty. He called on international organizations, especially the UN Security Council, to take immediate action. Kanani said the subsequent Israeli and Daesh attacks on Saturday and early Sunday shows the natural and inherent bond of the two terrorist entities. He said that comes at a time when Syria is reeling from the recent devastating earthquake. Palestinian resistance groups have also condemned the Israeli attack. Mohammad Ali, our correspondent in Damascus, is joining us live right now for more updates regarding this recent airstrike. Mohammad Ali.
Yes, I am now in Kafr Sousse area, just close to the residential building that was targeted and hit by an Israeli airstrike just last night. According to an official military source, of course, at 12:22 a.m. local time, Israel carried out an aggression on Damascus and its countryside. And according to the official military source, Syrian air defenses confronted the attack and shot down most of the enemy missiles. However, many of those missiles did hit targets in the capital, Damascus. Just behind me is the large hole in the ground caused by an Israeli missile over here in Kafr Sousse area, which is mostly a residential area, of course. According to the Syrian military source, the attack killed 5 people. One of them only is a military personnel, and injured 15 other people. So the majority of those, whether killed or injured, are civilians. This building just behind me is a residential building. It's in a residential area in Kafr Sousse, despite the fact that, yes, there are some government establishments like the Prime Minister's office, the Ministry of Interior. However, the building that was hit is a residential one. It's a residential compound where I am standing right now. The so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said that 15 people were killed. However, official news coming from inside Damascus says that 5 killed and 15 others injured. This is definitely not the first kind of attack by Israel on Syria. Every couple of weeks or months, there's an attack in violation, of course, of the Syria's sovereignty and also the UN Charter and international law. However, still there is international silence over such attacks.
Thank you very much. Our correspondent with the latest updates from Damascus. Today marks the 15th day of the hunger strike by a senior member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement held in Israeli jail. Qadir Adnan is protesting against the extension of his solitary confinement. The 44-year-old was arrested during a raid on his home near the occupied West Bank city of Jenin earlier this month. He has been arrested 12 times by Israel and spent nearly 8 years behind bars. More than 7,000 Palestinians are currently held in Israeli jails. Resistance movement Hamas has vowed to continue its support for the Palestinians languishing in Israeli prisons. Hamas says the Israeli regime is subjecting the detainees to the most brutal forms of abuse. Israel has recently stepped up its crackdown on Palestinians in protest at the atrocities. The Palestinians have launched a general strike in occupied Al-Quds and several West Bank cities. Thousands of Israelis have flocked to the streets for the seventh straight week to denounce the judicial reforms proposed by the new far-right cabinet. The protesters gathered in front of the Knesset in Tel Aviv, waving flags and placards. The reform bill is currently debated in the parliament and inching closer to approval, but the plan has triggered protests with people hitting the streets for weeks to express their anger at what they call a fascist cabinet. They believe the proposed overhaul would fatally undermine the checks and balances. If approved, the law would limit the powers of the top court to overturn the cabinet's decision. North Korea says it has launched an intercontinental ballistic missile on Saturday to confirm its readiness for what it called a fatal nuclear counterattack. The North's official news agency described the test as a sudden launching drill ordered by leader Kim Jong-un. The report said the move demonstrates Pyongyang's actual war capacity against hostile forces. The ICBM landed in waters off Japan. The launch comes after the North warned of an unprecedentedly strong response to the upcoming drills by the U.S. and South Korea. The missile test has drawn an angry reaction from the U.S.
The DPRK once again launched a ballistic missile, this one apparently falling in the exclusive economic zone of Japan. That's happened before in recent months, but this is yet again a provocative act by North Korea. We call on others to condemn this action, to take appropriate steps, including the effective enforcement of sanctions.
Japan's foreign minister has also called North Korea's move an absolutely unacceptable provocation. That was also echoed by South Korea's foreign minister, who is warning Pyongyang of more severe sanctions. South Korea and the U.S. have staged joint air drills involving an American bomber in response to North Korea's missile launch. Pyongyang has always maintained that it is the U.S. and South Korea that are undermining regional stability. The North says it is watching their moves and will take corresponding and powerful counteraction. Our correspondent Jennifer Chang is joining us right now from Seoul. Jennifer, tell us more about this recent escalation. That definitely came as a surprise, didn't it?
Yes, because this was an unannounced order by North Korea for the firing of an ICBM for the first time in its history. Usually an ICBM is fired with a great deal of pre-planning, and everyone knows the date and time at which it will be fired. But North Korea this time demonstrated that it is capable of making a surprise counterattack against a U.S. and South Korean nuclear attack by issuing an order at dawn yesterday, Saturday, and then less than half a day later, firing off a Hwasong-15 ICBM capable of reaching the entire continental U.S. And even though this is liquid-fueled, this ICBM could be fueled up in less than half a day. So North Korea is showing South Korea and the U.S. that no matter how many large-scale military drills they hold, they are not going to trump North Korea. North Korea says it will not allow Washington and Seoul to gain a long-term military advantage over Pyongyang. And it issued a warning on Friday, the day before this latest ICBM test, which is only the third ICBM test in a year. And experts say that it is extremely notable, this latest ICBM test, because it was more like an exercise than a traditional test of an ICBM, and that we are going to see more of these types of exercises where the test is unannounced, and the North Korean military is going to up its provocations against South Korea and the U.S. exponentially, just as South Korea and the U.S. is increasing its military exercises exponentially. North Korea said on Friday, as it issued the warning, that South Korea and the U.S. are planning 20 or more large-scale military drills this year alone. And indeed, after this latest ICBM test, South Korea and the U.S. held an air drill involving a B-1B U.S. bomber capable of dropping nuclear bombs on North Korea. So tensions here on the Korean Peninsula, which are already dangerously high, are expected to get even higher in the next few months.
So, Jennifer, how are you expecting this to change the equation, the balance of power in the region?
Well, already North Korea has the advantage over South Korea because it has nuclear weapons. And the only thing that is helping South Korea is the U.S. and the U.S. extended nuclear umbrella. But if North Korea is able to launch a counterattack against a U.S. and South Korean nuclear attack held with nuclear weapons of the U.S., then the U.S. is not going to be willing to defend South Korea anymore. Many experts say that Washington will never sacrifice San Francisco for Seoul. If North Korea can indeed mount a counterattack with nuclear weapons on the continental U.S., that means that cities like San Francisco are at risk. And that means that the U.S. government will have no choice but to withdraw from its defense of South Korea. So that puts South Korea in an extremely precarious position. They are doing everything they can to try to expand the extended deterrence, the nuclear deterrence of the U.S., but North Korea is also advancing its nuclear capabilities in spite of U.S. sanctions, in spite of the U.S. campaign at the U.N. Security Council to get everybody to sanction North Korea. But North Korea has friends. North Korea has China and Russia. And with China and Russia's veto, it's impossible to sanction North Korea as much as the U.S. wants to.
Thank you very much. Our correspondent, Jennifer Chang, with the latest from Seoul. The death toll from Cyclone Gabrielle in New Zealand has increased to 11, with thousands still missing. The fatalities increased after search teams recovered two more bodies from the hard-hit Hawke's Bay region. The death toll is expected to rise as more than 6,400 people remain unaccounted for. The cyclone hit New Zealand's northernmost region a week ago and tracked down the east coast. It has caused widespread devastation, disrupting telecommunications and causing shortages of fresh water. Roads have been damaged too, restricting access to some affected areas. Prime Minister Chris Hipping says Gabrielle is the biggest natural disaster to hit New Zealand in a century. Anti-war demonstrators have staged protests in the German city of Munich to voice their opposition to the conflict in Ukraine. The protest took place on the sidelines of the 2023 Munich Security Conference. The demonstrators carried placards that read, "No to war," and "Ukraine is armament for Europe." The protesters called for an end to the delivery of weapons to Ukraine and demanded Germany exit NATO. They also urged all parties involved in the conflict to use diplomatic means to end the devastating war in Ukraine. Discussions this year in Munich Security Conference are dominated by the Ukraine conflict. Earlier, we talked to geopolitical analyst Daniel Patrick Welch and his take on the anti-Ukraine war demonstrations in the German city of Munich.
As an American, it's a slightly different take. I see Kamala Harris was the first mixed-race woman to occupy her office as a shill for empire in this forum on the very birthday of Huey Newton, the co-founder of the Black Panther Party, speaking out about crimes against humanity and war crimes. It's repulsive. And Jerome was exactly right. It is over $100 billion that the U.S. has spent on this conflict, and that's just right now. The conflict started, or the military arm of the conflict, started in 2014 with the Maidan coup that the U.S. was behind. And so the Europeans have got to wake up to the fact that the U.S. destroyed Nord Stream in order to subjugate the economy of Germany and keep them in line. It's outrageous. And I'm amazed that it has taken this long for the people to be seen in the streets.
Russia has rejected U.S. allegations of committing crimes against humanity in Ukraine. It says the U.S. is fueling the crisis in Ukraine through supplying arms to Kiev, and it is just trying to justify that. Moscow's ambassador to the U.S. says such accusations also aim to demonize Russia, calling them part of a hybrid war against the country. The reaction follows comments by the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris at the Munich Security Conference. There, she said that the U.S. has formally conducted and concluded that Russia has committed crimes against humanity in Ukraine. Also last year, the U.S. claimed that Russia had committed war crimes in Ukraine. Moscow has repeatedly denied targeting civilians during the year-long war. It has in turn accused Ukraine of committing crimes against humanity against people in the eastern Donbass region. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back to Aperture. We looked into the life of Muhammad Iqbal from his birthplace in Punjab province of British India, now in Pakistan, to his academic studies in the University of Cambridge. Iqbal was a very learned man who is known for his political ideologies and philosophical theories. He is fondly remembered as a great poet and scholar. The political content of Muhammad Iqbal's poetry is one of the most fascinating aspects of his work. Except for a few poems, his entire poetic endeavor is tinged with the political concerns of his time. Both domestic and international political events shaped his poetry. He not only responded to political events in his verse, but also inspired his fellow Indian Muslims through his poetry to find a way out of the political dilemma in which the British colonial rule had put them. Stay with us as we looked into how Iqbal helped his fellow Indian Muslims aspire to a better future and guided them on the road to freedom.
Iqbal's message is addressed only to the youth. He calls them Royal Falcons. As held by Iqbal, the Royal Falcon has five characteristics. Iqbal wants the youth to catch hold of Falcon's characteristics as much as possible. The five good attributes of the Royal Falcon, as seen by Iqbal, are flying high. So Iqbal wants the youth to fly high for sure. The second attribute is keen eyesight. The youth can fly high only if they have keen eyesight. Its third attribute is that it does not build a nest, nor does it follow richness. The fourth attribute, it loves solitude, as it is a source of creativity. The last attribute, as told by Iqbal of the Royal Falcon, is it does not eat the prey hunted by others. Iqbal wants the youth to show these five attributes.
Allama's poetry consists of certain periods.
His poetry was at first as the poetry of the day. He would say at that time, "My Urdu poems are like a building made of clay." Little by little, his Persian poems came into existence. Among the first Persian poems were the familiar secrets and the mysteries of rapture. Such poems end with Javed Name, or perhaps with "What Can Be Done, O Eastern People."
Gradually, Iqbal changes from a national poet to the poet of the Islamic world. His versified story, "The Familiar Secrets and the Mysteries of Rapture," is first translated into English by Reynold Nicholson and published in the region. Years later, his Javedname is translated into German and Turkish in 1957 by those who study Islam, including Anna Marie Schimmel. The book is published in Munich, Hermann Hesse. The German writer and a winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature writes an introduction to Javedname, as requested by the translator. Hesse writes, "Sir Muhammad Iqbal belongs to three intellectual domains. His works are the outcome of these three intellectual domains: Indian intellectual domain, spiritual domain, and Western thoughts domain."
There are three groups of Persian poets. The first, those who are absolutely meaning-oriented.
Iqbal, as a poet, is highly accomplished. He has bridged the gap between wisdom and heart.
The second, those who are pedantic. Meaning is absent in their poems. They pay attention to words and nothing more.
His poems touch the reader's sensations. Because they are so meaningful and precede even the thoughts forming in their minds.
The third, those whose poems are full of both words and meanings. From among them, we can name Hafez and Saadi.
Such senses calm mind, imagination, and consequently heart. This is a rare attribute seen in such great poets as Hafez and Rumi. The attribute is common in all Iqbal's poems.
Allama Iqbal has mastery not only over words, but also over various meanings, meanings which come out of him and are derived from his thoughts. His meaning-oriented poems outnumber his other types of poems, just as Rumi's. Iqbal says, "There is no comparison between the melody and me. Speaking is only a pretext. I am pulling the camel, which has no rein."
Allama Iqbal, with a faith in Islam and a reasonable Gnostic faith indicating his deep certitude in God's sovereignty, moves his mind to search for secrets and mysteries of the creation. In his Islamic Gnostic poems and such verified stories as The Souvenir of Hijaz, The Eastern Message, The Familiar Secrets, and The Mysteries of Rapture, he talks about the principles of internal ontology of things and idealization of the existential world. While his thoughts are at the height of their powers, he invites Muslims to solidify familiar philosophy exactly in accordance to monotheism, to bring about a new perspective, a new worldview into the Islamic world.
So many memories are related to this house. My father came to live in this house when he was 11. Now, what sort of memory do you want me to tell you?
Talking about Iqbal's thoughts reminds us of the familiar thoughts as his central train of thought. We hear Iqbal saying, "To a mullah, a denier of God is an unbeliever. To me, more unbeliever is he who denies his own self."
Just ask, what is Iqbal's philosophy? The answer is, the philosophy of your own. Iqbal's philosophy is in fact the philosophy of one's own, or familiar philosophy. What is familiar philosophy? That you know your origin very well.
Never in my life have I been interested in the world's wealth or posts. I built this very house just to accept my wife's repeated requests. My wife's fate in this house had a different form. Here became a safe place for those in search of their identity. I clearly saw that most Muslims in the motherland had lost their Islamic identity, and to regain it, they need to struggle hard. The house, quiet corner, became a place for those who wish to fly faults of self-belief, something much needed by all.
The house originally belonged to my father, Javed Iqbal. The house title deed had already been issued to my grandmother. Upon the death of my grandmother, the deed was transferred to my father. Allama Iqbal would live here as my father's tenant. He paid the rent to my father every month or every 3 months.
Never did I lose my interest in my native land's people. My best time was when I was among people to see them struggle hard to earn their living. I was inspired by their uproar in the Anarkli district. Loftier than the heavens is the station of man, and the beginning of education is respect for man.
Iqbal lays heavy emphasis on the familiar secrets and mysteries of rapture. Familiarity, as seen by Gnostics, means to entertain the self, to fully know the self. It's a famous statement that knowing the self is meant knowing God. Iqbal emphasized, first and foremost, returning to the self. Search within yourself in order to know the self.
Iqbal invites us to know ourselves before doing anything else. Anything else. We shall heighten ourselves to become a human being, Paul Excellence.
From God's own being, the self got a being so. From God's own show, to self, he gave a show. About this shining pearl, I know not where. It could be then without a river there.
Iqbal meant to look carefully at human beings on the one hand and to look carefully at Islamic ideology on the other hand. For that very reason, we see Iqbal describing in detail the Eastern society and the essence of Islamic thought.
Who is a selected man? A selected man is the one who is searched for by God. He is in a form desired by God. God wants that kind of human being. This is possible only if man searches for his self, to train himself in a desirable way, to maintain the self, to try hard to fully understand the self. This way finally leads to knowing well the Supreme Being.
The greatest message of Iqbal, as expressed in his poems, is to know yourself, to turn to your own self, to know the East, not the West.
Signs of going senile can be seen very easily in me. The tick-tock of the clock shows clearly the passage of my life. So quickly pass opportunities. So little time have I to reach the end of the line. Oh, the memory of those days when time's sword was allied with the strength of our hands and unveiled the face of truth. Our nails tore loose the knot of this world. Our bowing in prayer gave blessings to the earth. From the jar of truth we made rosy wine gush forth. We charged against the ancient taverns.
इस घर की तामीर हमारी दादी की ख्वाहिश पे की गई थी पर वो इस घर में सिर्फ
This house was built under my grandmother's wish.
उनकी यहां पे बीमार
But only for two or three days she lived here.
चौथे दिन वो फात पा गई. उसके बाद
She was sick when they carried her in a car. But she survived only for two or three days.
मेरे वालिद तब 11 साल के थे जब उनकी वालिदा फौत
At the age of 11 my father lost his mother. When my aunt was about 6 years old.
मामूल बना लिया था कि वो दोनों बच्चे वालिद और
My father and my aunt would come here every day to see Allama. Who was lying on this bed.
दरवाजे में खड़े हो जाते थे.
Allama called them and my aunt would come up to Allama and my father would sit on the other side of the bed. This way Allama would feel comfortable.
लेट जाती थी अलामा साहब के इस तरह वालिद लेट जाते थे
मैं उनके चली जाती थी शाम के वक्त शाम होनी तो स्कूल से आके
I usually went to see them after school.
मैंने तो उनको इसी आदत
Allama was always lying on his bed and resting.
मैं पास जाके लेट जाती थी तो वहीं पे सारे मेहमान
I was always beside him.
हर वक्त लोगों
Other people would also go there.
मिलना मिलाना मुसलसली जारी रहता था
इस घर में कई लोग अलामा को मिलने आ चुके हैं कायदे आजम मोहम्मद अली जिन्ना
Many came here to see him among them General Muhammad Ali Jinnah Jawaharlal Nehru Muhammad Ali Jauhar and many other intimate friends of Allama
Allama sahab अपने बिस्तर पे बैठते थे और
They would come here just before or after midday to have a chat with Allama about topics like poetry philosophy or any other things
तो ये अलामा की जिंदगी
अलामा स्पेंट हिज लास्ट डेज ऑफ लाइफ हियर
वो इस घर में गुजरा
I was well aware that the main reason why India went under the yoke of British colonization was lack of knowledge of self and reliance on others self-awareness springs out self-dependence and internal richness know yourself Know your hidden parts, nurture your parts, and create a new world, which will compensate for old shortcomings and soul defects, to pave the way for comprehensive development. It is the self which originates existence. It is self-awareness which gives birth to human values. It is the self which affects existence. What human beings see or intuit is a manifestation of the self through mysteries. The form of existence is an effect of the self. Whatsoever thou seest is a secret of the self.
Iqbal's philosophy is objective and tangible. He pulls down philosophy from the metaphysical world to make it tangible and applicable to common people. Iqbal's philosophy is therefore a practical philosophy. It can be put into practice.
O Muslims, you have to preserve your own self. You must follow God and His book, the Holy Quran. When you achieve success in making your own self, you can resist even the whole world. No one can harm you. What is the basis of survival? Survival is based on making your own self. It is the self, the nature mentioned by Quran. And this is the essence of Iqbal's thoughts. This is what Iqbal means of the concept of self. For that very reason, every member of the Islamic world should know this way of thinking, personally and socially.
Today we see a group of ignorant people who commit, under the name of Islam, the most heinous acts, though they are all against Islamic teachings. In fact, they are all Satan's companions and toys in the hands of those who want to mislead them. About these people, Iqbal says, Europe very well knows how to secure interests, while granting to this takes a loan of that. It gives sustenance to Satan in a way that leaves perplexed even God.
Nowadays, there are calculated plots against Islam. The enemy is very active to destroy the Islamic world from within. I personally think that we need Iqbal's ideas about Islam now more than ever before. You are simultaneously a learned man, a Sayyid, a descendant of the Prophet. But tell me, are you a Muslim too?
A Muslim is called infidel by another Muslim. It is not a non-Muslim who calls him infidel. It is a Muslim. All problems are created and spread here and there by those who are pursuing only their own interests.
The phrase which brings unity to you all is, there is no God but Allah. As Iqbal says, the key to our unity, salvation, and survival, and a sign of familiarity, is in this phrase, there is no God but Allah. Those who follow this phrase never behead Muslims. Iqbal's basic philosophy is that all of us should be unified. All of us should form one single family. Muslims should get unified to guard the sanctuary. I mean Muslims from the Nile shores to the city of Kashgar.
Iqbal tells us to put aside personal interests and to move into a direction leading to social interests. Put aside your personal interests. Let's talk about our religion, our unity. We will end in success. Just because of his thoughts, Iqbal is living on today. I think so.
Just have a look at the tragic events caused by a group of people who are Muslims in name only, as if there has never been a person like Iqbal. His philosophy has sunk into oblivion, as if Iqbal never lived among us. This is a great sorrow, casting a shadow over all Iqbal's philosophy and thoughts. There is no memory of him anymore. The light of all his great books has gone out. The everlasting letter, the familiar secrets of rapture, the Persian Psalms, what can be done, O people of the East, the rout of philosophy in Iran, the Eastern message, and reconstructing Islamic religious thoughts. During his last days, Allama says, as Iran full of unknown meaning, I am unable to endure censurers' sayings. Neither have I any option, nor am I coerced. I am but a living soil, always in revolution.
इसी तरह जब आखिरी रात थी अलामा साहब की तो वो दोनों बच्चे इसी दरवाजे पे आए.
Then came the last night of Allama's life. His two children came to have their last look at him. Allama was still conscious. Someone from Germany had come to see him, a friend of his or his teacher. The German called the two children and hugged them. My father was leaving the room, but my aunt wasn't. She wanted to stay with him for a while.
At the time, I felt I had to stay with Allama and to sit there motionlessly. Our tutor, Aunt Doris, came there to take me with her. I told her, I will stay here at least for a while.
Allama told the tutor,
she knows that this is the last meeting between the father and the daughter. That is why she doesn't want to leave. Let her stay.
She knows this is the last time she sees her father.
And finally, I felt something was going to happen. For that very reason, I didn't want to leave the place.
Early in the morning, Allama passed away. The muezzin was calling out the morning adhan. Here, beside this bed, was standing his close friend, Ali Bakhsh. There were some other friends too, although most of them were saying their morning prayers at the mosque at that time. Back then, the mosque was more like a house than anything else. Friends were there to say their prayers in congregation. After their prayers, Allama passed away. His last words were the two testimonies. Then his soul flew to the sky. I personally suppose people like Allama will come to this world several centuries later.
Allama Iqbal Lahori died at the age of 61 on April 21, 1938, after a life of diligence and hard work. In the last moments of his life, he put his hand on his chest, telling Ali Bakhsh, his man, I have a pain here. And upon uttering this ambiguous, meaningful remark, he bade farewell to the world. Many attended his funeral and accompanied him to his final resting place next to Masjid-e Shah in Lahore. On his deathbed, Allama composed this song. Does a song gone come back again? No. Does a breeze come from Hijaz? No. There finally came to an end all those days of poverty. Does a Gnostic come back a second time? No. Allama's thoughts and philosophy will remain with us forever, only if we follow him.
Iqbal was a significant voice in the traumatic history of colonized India. His sensitivity to the plight of his people was sharpened both by his understanding of his roots and his adaptability to the demands of the new colonized world. Politics and philosophy were combined in Iqbal's poetry. Perhaps today, Iqbal's anti-colonial stance can be referred to as neo-colonialism is still plaguing the world. And that's it for this week's program. Until next week and another Aperture, it's goodbye.
Oh! Rebbe English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to Rebbe English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Rebbe English Radio.
This is for a better life. For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is for a better life from IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Sayyid Mahdi Tawakkol. I am here today to talk about another strategy to adopt to enjoy a better life. I need to point that my talk is based on the Quran and Islamic narrations. In this episode of the program, I will be going to go over an important topic, which is that we are highly recommended to keep the secrets of our life as secret and not to reveal them to others. What I mean by secrecy is anything that we are aware of but others are not. Secret covers a large part of many branches of human life. Among many examples of this regard, we can name the amount of our income and our financial sources. We are recommended to keep them a secret. The goals we have in our life or the future plans, our feeling toward others, the family problems, our personal problems, our good or bad feeling about individuals who are next to us, or the way we think about them, the good or bad actions and whatnot, many examples. Just as if the vital secrets about the war zone, if that secret are leaked out, it may lead to the defeat of the army. Similarly, when our secrets are not well kept, many problems might arise in our life. There are a lot of enemy friends. These people just portray themselves as friends, but they are evil. Or secret and vital information can help them track us down. Also, there are many jealous people who may stab us at our back if they become aware of our goals and future plans. Some people who show us their sympathy when they are present next to us may have a dirty mind towards us. For example, if we say others about our account balance, no matter who rich other people are, it might bring up jealousy or even hatred. As a result, if in the future we face a financial problem, those people who are aware of our account balance won't help us. They would say we are rich. On the other hand, if we tell others about our income, the outcome is that either our income is low or high. If it is low, it becomes the gossip for the day. And if it is high, it becomes the topic of the day. This is what to say. Or for example, if we say someone about the way we judge him, it is highly probable that it ends up to enmity, animosity, and hatred. Even we shouldn't tell others about our age. If we are healthy and our age shows less, those people would say that we did not have any discomfort in our life. And because of this, will look younger. But if, for example, or for any reason, it is thought that our age shows more than what we said and more than our real age, they may think that he have a disease or are an addict or even weak or featureless. I myself have faced many similar situations with someone asked me about my age and then he thought I would look like to be older. He started grumbling that I have no concern in my life, while he has faced many struggles, and because of this he looks older than me. So it is better to remain silent about our own information and do not let others be aware of whatever we know. Let's go for a short break, and I will be back in a minute. I was talking about the great outcome of keeping our secrets and the disadvantages of being careless about it. We need to remain silent about our own information as long as there is no need to reveal them. If there is a need, then that would be okay. But if we let others be aware of whatever we know while it is not necessary to make them aware, it brings just difficulties for us, and it has no benefit for us. Why should we make them aware while it will accompany different source of hardship for us? This is what Imam Ali says, as it is quoted from him to have said, Sadr al-aqil sunduq sirrih, the chest of a wise man is like a safe for his secrets. It means that just as the owners of a wealth keep his valuable thing in a strong safe, a wise person should also keep his secrets hidden in his heart. Because if his secrets fall into the hands of others, sometimes it may cause them discomfort, it may make us to be totally disgraced. In addition, some of the secrets may be related to the fate of a nation, if we have more general vision about this matter. And those secrets, if they become revealed, it will cause a great damage to the society. For this reason, it is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that when he decided to go on a campaign and fight, he kept it completely hidden. As an example, in the issue of the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet spent most of his secrecy in it, never revealed anything to other people, just the necessary amount of information to those who are involved in that conquest. If the Prophet had not done that and the news reached the people of Mecca, they would have become mobilized and many people would become murdered. But the secrecy of the Prophet caused Mecca to be conquered without any resistance or without any bloodshed. And a new chapter was opened in the progress of Islam and the return of opponents to the truth when the Mecca was conquered. And most of the advantages of that was due to the secrecy of the Prophet. Imam Ali, in another wise saying, states, your secret is your captive and prisoner, and if you reveal your secret, he will become his captive and prisoner.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
As long as we have not told the secret, it is up to us to say it or not to say it. But once we have said it, the control will become out of our hand, and we have to accept whatever happens in our life, even if it is extremely unfortunate. It is extremely unpleasant. We have to accept it. There are some people who say that there are some people who believe that when they say something to someone, they are cautious and only say their secrets to their close friends and to no one else. But they should know that those close friends also have their own close friends, and they may reveal it to them as well. Your secret would be totally spread, and many people would know about it. If we want to have a better life, we need to be more silent about our happiness or sadness or mistakes we did or achievements, about everything that telling others, letting them be aware, brings no advantage for us. when there is no benefit for, disclosing our secrets to others, why should we tell other people about them? As a result, not everything should be disclosed carelessly. Friends are human beings, enemies also are human beings. We can only differentiate them when the attacks become vivid and apparent. So we are highly recommended not to reveal our secrets to anyone. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share he
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is